Now for further word as sent via special military facilities from Advanced Fleet Headquarters, we take you to Guam. Go ahead, Guam.
This is Arthur Crane, Mutual War Correspondent, speaking from Fleet Headquarters at Guam. In the studio with me today is Vice Admiral John H. Hoover, one of the busiest men in the Pacific. Admiral Hoover holds the title of Commander Forward Area Central Pacific, and as such, he is responsible for the development of advanced bases in the Pacific area, bases from which all aggressive action is faced. During the two-day carrier-based airstrikes against the Tokyo area last week, Admiral Hoover was aboard a ship within 300 miles of the Japanese mainland. At the conclusion of this operation, he went back south to Iwo Jima in the Volcano Islands, where, only a mile offshore, he watched the first assault troops of the 4th and 5th Marine Division storm the beach camp. During Admiral Hoover's itinerary, he had conferences with Admiral R.A. Spruance, commander of the 5th Fleet, Vice Admiral R. Kelly Turner, commander of the Pacific Fleet Amphibious Forces, and Lieutenant General Holland M. Smith, commanding general of the Fleet Marine Forces of the Pacific. Admiral Hoover, from your vantage point during the Iwo Jima invasion, did it appear to you that our landing forces had an especially hard time getting ashore?
It was the toughest beach we had yet encountered in the Central Pacific. By comparison, Saipan was an easy one. At Iwo Jima, there is no natural harbor, and the beaches rise sharply off the water. The shoreline here is covered with a deep volcanic dust, which hinders the advance of our men and rules out the possibility of any heavy vehicle movement aside from those which are mounted on caterpillar treads. I saw many of our amphibious landing vehicles hit the shoreline on D-Day, advance a few yards, and then bog down. As a result of the natural impediments on the beach, we lost a great many of our landing vehicles.
Are these vehicles permanently lost to us, Admiral?
No, I would say that most of them could be repaired and put back into service, due to the fact that they are operational damages such as broken treads, stripped gears, and burned out motors. These resulted from the terrific strain put on the loaded vehicles when they hit the soft volcanic ash.
And that brings us to the point of this interview, Admiral Hoover. I'm afraid that most people back in the States have no conception of what we are facing in the Iwo Jima campaign. Two Marine divisions and part of a third have been committed here, more than in any other single operation in the history of the Marine Corps. And yet, Iwo Jima is less than 8 square miles. Could you tell us why it is necessary to use this large amount of manpower?
The island of Iwo Jima, besides being the most heavily fortified of any that we have yet encountered out here in the Pacific, possesses tremendous natural barriers that also must be overcome. The northern part of the island has steep shores rising directly out of the water. On the southern tip is Mount Suribachi, an extinct volcano, which has been heavily fortified by the Japanese. The only place where we could possibly land was on that section of the beach from the northern end of Suribachi northward for about 4,000 yards. But even this beach is far from ideal. Fast, mobile action is impossible along its stretches of loose dust, which act almost like quicksand. The entire island is volcanic in nature and has a terraced contour, which impedes the fast frontal attacks that have proved so successful to our Marine forces in the past. To see the island close up, it presents a sight as fantastic as some pictures I have seen of the moon. Barren, pitted with volcanic craters, and with thousands of fissures and vents, which emit steam and sulfurous vapors. There are very few flat areas, with the exception of the volcanic sand dunes on the southern third of the island. This area is now in our possession, and the fight for it has been hard and bloody. When we start moving northward, the fighting will become even more difficult as the terrain becomes rougher.
But besides the difficulty of the terrain, were there any other reasons why we had to commit such a large number of men, ships, and planes for this operation?
I have witnessed practically every other landing operation in the Pacific. and enemy firepower on Iwo Jima has been far stronger than any other place we have attacked. You must remember that the Japs considered Iwo Jima as an important key to their inner defenses. They attached great importance to this little 8-square-mile piece of rock and had it fortified tremendously.
But didn't our preliminary bombing and shelling soften its defenses at all? According to best estimates, we now have poured some 20,000 tons of explosives from all sources into its defenses. This is about one ton per estimated man on the island.
I believe that our aerial bombardment and naval shelling was most effective, since we have pictorial evidence of a great many pillboxes and gun emplacements that we have knocked out. But the Jap on Iwo Jima is mostly underground. At least we assume he is, because we certainly haven't seen much of him on the surface. Despite all the damage that we have done to his gun emplacements, he still is able to lay down a murderous mortar, artillery, and automatic weapon fire. The area that we have already secured in the south is under constant fire. There are shells dropped from the sky on our men below, and we're not sure where they come from. Some of the fire is coming from Mount Suribachi, but I believe that most of it is from the northern part of the island. That's why I believe that our progress up there will be somewhat slower than in the south. If anybody has the slightest doubt as to the seriousness of the Iwo Jima invasion, he should have been standing alongside me on board ship on D-Day. With a set of high-powered binoculars, I could see our Marines hit the beach and try to scramble up the 200-foot slope, which leads to the plateau running down the center of the island. Enemy gunfire was almost negligible, since they probably expected us to make a feint at the southeast beach and then land somewhere else. But around noon on D-Day, they were positive that there was no deception involved and that we were actually landing in force. Within a few minutes, they had flung their mortars and howitzers into place and their shells were landing among our men and equipment. Later that day, we discovered an area farther south where we could penetrate through to the southern airfield out of range of enemy heaviest gunfire. We kept feeding our men through this region throughout the day. It was touch and go for a while. Our casualties were heavy.
I've heard some rumors to the effect that the Japanese possess artillery and naval rifles concealed in caves and tunnels. Is this true?
I don't know, but it could very easily be true. We have pictures of caves whose entrances have been blasted open by naval gunfire, exposing a cavity which could accommodate almost any kind of artillery. You will recall that howitzers were found in caves on Palau, and that the Japs have dug in like rats wherever they have fought.
Well, what is the best way to displace the Japs from their underground positions, Admiral?
As it has been everywhere, hand-to-hand combat, using flamethrowers, small arms, and grenades. But even after we clear out a cave or a pillbox, it doesn't necessarily mean that it will stay cleared out. The Japs have a habit of moving around during the night and might re-enter an underground emplacement that had been captured the day before.
You remarked earlier, Admiral Hoover, that the fighting would be tougher and that our advance would be slower the farther north we go on Iwo Jima. So far, it has taken us 4 days to secure a little less than one-third of the island. That probably means that it will take 2 more weeks to complete the campaign, doesn't it?
It could take that long or even longer. Again, the battle could come to an end suddenly within a few days. It's foolish to attempt to predict the end to any military campaign. But it's especially foolish when you're fighting the Jap. He might decide to stay holed up and make us come to him, fighting it out to the last man. In this event, the Iwo Jima campaign could last for some time. On the other hand, the Japs might decide to use all their forces in a suicidal banzai charge, and the fight would be over in a few days. But regardless of what tactics the Japs use, we have the necessary manpower and equipment to ensure an American victory.
And once Iwo Jima is in our hands, Admiral Hoover, what is its strategic importance?
It will have the same strategic importance to us that it had for the Japanese. It was a staging or stopping point for them halfway between Tokyo and our major bases in the Marianas. Once it is in our hands, this will work in reverse. It will afford us 1,400 miles of clear air and water between the Marianas and the Japanese mainland. And we will be able to put Iwo Jima into operation soon after it is secured.